Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 47, Pride Part 2. Today is Friday, May 16th, 2008. Welcome to church, our online church. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. The temptations opening up our church service. How about that? Vote for me and I'll set you free. The preacher, the teacher, born confusion, the beat goes on, round and round we go. Fear is in the air.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And I, boy, and I, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on.
Well, the only person talking about love now, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
What a perfect song for today. This is our 1-year anniversary Sunday, May 11th, Mother's Day, was Pentecost. And I didn't even know it. I had to look up when was Pentecost, because that's when we started doing the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. And that's how we came up with our name, Tongues of Fire. Because if you remember on episode number one, we talked about the tongues of fire, the disciples in the upper room, and they receive the Holy Spirit and tongues of fire. They started preaching in different languages, and people outside the upper room heard them and could not understand what was happening. Anyways, go back to episode number one and check it out. That was our first episode. So it's been great. 46 episodes in 1 year. We've done a couple of things. We had a marathon in January, and we just basically replayed all 31 episodes that we had done up to that point. And then we had February, we took some time off. We were pretty tired from the marathon. And then we started up in the last couple of months. We've been doing two episodes on Friday and Sunday, like Pastor Paul's messages. He used to do them on Friday night and Sunday. And so now what we are looking at for the next year, one episode a week every Friday. Maybe something will happen and change that, but that's kind of what we're going to commit to. And I hope that you have gotten a lot out of Pastor Paul's messages. I know it's been a growing thing for me doing the podcast. I'm not used to speaking and, you know, just kind of getting on here and going on, you know, is a big thing, you know, a learning experience for me. I'm used to behind the scenes, and that's where I like to be. But It's been good. It's been good. It's been a growing thing for me, definitely. What else? Let's say you can go to get the show notes, to check out the show notes. You want to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. The show notes are hosted by Blogger. Thank you, Blogger, for that. Also, Twitter is a online social network that I belong to with Pastor Paul's mission, and I like to do announcements on Twitter when the podcast is available. But better yet, subscribe to the podcast at the blog, which again is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Did I say that wrong? It's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. No dot after the triple W, or you will end up at another pastor's blog. The website, www.pastorpaul.org, under construction. Looking at a lot of different ways of doing the website. So that should be more a bigger website coming up in the near future. Hopefully our store, I'm shooting for Father's Day for the store to reopen. So let's hope for that. I don't even know when Father's Day is. I think it's in June. Let's take a look. June 15th. So we've got a month to get the store up and at it. This message today is really, it's an excellent message. One for all of us. Always we're dealing with pride. Always. Pastor Paul in the message talks about dedicating your mobile temple daily to the Lord, which is what you have to do, what we have to do each day, dedicate ourselves, because pride does slip in there. And it does, I know it does with me. So, you know, chances are it does with you as well. The message is excellent. You're going to enjoy the message. He talks about a lot of different things, about lips of flattery, about seducing spirits loosed from the pit. You want to know about these. The New York Times is ready to roll. Jesus Christ returns. Did you know that? He talks about it in the message. Arthritis. Anybody have a stiff neck, bad knees? Chances are a spirit of pride. A lot. You're going to get a lot out of it. So we're going to get on with the message. I hope you have a great week. Thanks for coming to church. Listen to the message, and I'll see you back here next Friday for episode 48. Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Today's message is entitled Pride Part 2. There'll probably be 50 parts to this, I don't know. For Friday, we ministered about pride, and that of all the seven sins, pride, anger, envy, impurity, gluttony, slothfulness, avarice. Then I said, of all those things, pride comes first. Pride goeth before the fall. It's too proud to wait and come after. Goes before. Your fall is already there when you go before God. It's a certain thing. It's an absolute. So whenever you go ahead of God, you don't have to, you know, you're not coming to a fall. You've already fallen. When we say in our hearts that we're going to go ahead and do this or that outside of God, we go before the fall. The fall is certain. We said if all the prideful were cut off, I believe then the census count would be quite different, because I think there's a certain amount of pride in everybody. Let us now continue dealing with pride. That's a being preoccupied with ourselves, which is miserable. You know, it shows on our faces, doesn't it? When we're into ourselves. People always ask people, they say, what are you into nowadays? What's your bag? Well, if they're into something outside of God, they're into themselves, and they're going to be miserable. Then our self-fruit, I believe, becomes very visible. Our jealousy, in our hate, in our greed, in our lust, in our gluttony, in our envy, in our slothfulness, in our pride. Our faces, you see, betray what we say by the way we look and by the way we talk. Psalm 12, 3 and 4 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Imagine having your lips cut off. And the tongue that speaketh proud things, verse 4 then, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? These are our lips. We'll do what we please with them. Isn't there a song like that? These lips. Huh? I think there is. People are always talking about their lips, and they're always getting their lips into messes. But total destruction, it says, shall overwhelm the lovers of flattery and pride. But I thought to myself, meanwhile, my, how they carry on. But don't call fire down on them, because that'd be the wrong spirit. Jesus will say, by your calling this by the wrong spirit. But Paul called them raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. You ever hear a proud heart just foaming out their own shame? I did this and I did that, and my God, no one recognizes the importance of me, and when will I ever recognize the great work I'm doing? Foaming out. Free thinkers, and free thinkers are always free talkers. And that's the trouble with freedom without God. We've got so many free thinkers and free talkers then. Even here in our own United States, that everybody's got their own little rights movement going. And they're at complete ease at tearing God apart. Who is the Lord over us, they boast. I think freedom of speech is really great, but, you know, God isn't in it. Whew. Think about all the freedom of speech that we have in this country, and think about all that's being said blaspheming God. But notice here that flattering lips and tongues speaking proud things are classed here together. And the reason is quite clear. For they are guilty of the very same vice. The first flatters another, and the second flatters himself. See, you prime them. You prime the people. Wow, I don't know when I've heard such a wonderful, beautiful, great teaching, this or that or so on like that, you know. And then the second flatters himself. Well, God gave it to me, you know. Came to me one night all of a sudden, and you know what I mean? See? Or you are wonderful and great and colossal. Yes, all that you said is very true, but you forgot one thing. Aren't I fabulous? And even if they don't say that, we take on that stance. And we can be proud about everything that we do. But in both cases, the lie is in their right hands. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Word of God says. And I thought, you know, now one would imagine that flatterers are like little parasites, too cringing to be proud. Now that I believe that while all pride is truly meanness, what do you mean by that? All pride is meanness. Aren't people that are prideful mean? There is then in the very lowest meanness no small amount of pride. Caesar's horse, I'm saying, is even more proud of carrying Caesar around than Caesar is of riding him. And Caesar's rug yells out, "Hey, I wiped the emperor's feet." And none are so detestably domineering as the little creatures who creep into office by cringing to the great. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you've gone in to get your welfare check. And the little person behind the counter becomes a monster. Or maybe even here in our mission, we might have someone that would cook that would become a monster because the leader of the group is proud, and so then this sprinkles off into the others. And I think all the leaders need to take a look at the people that are working for them. Because if that proud spirit is in there, it needs to be broken. It needs to be recognized and it needs to be cast out in the name of Jesus. Beware the little creatures working for people in high places who are proud. Banks. You can go into a bank and you can talk to one person and say, "No, definitely you can't have a loan." One time I went in and I went in with holes in my shoes and holes in the back of my trousers, and I wore a long coat to cover that up. Walked in covering my shoes up so nobody would see them and sat down. The guy said, "Definitely you cannot have a loan." And I went home and I filled out a write-in and they sent it to me in the mail. Sometimes people given a little authority can use just a little authority and misuse it. And they can become monsters. Someone in charge of the toilets can become a monster. They just mop their way out of there. And you want to use the restroom. And there he's standing with the mop. Proud of what he's done. "How dare you step on my clean floor? May I use?" Sure you can use it. Go ahead, everybody else does. Huh? Or the insurance companies. Or the hospitals. Or where you go to get your car fixed. And sometimes they judge the whole operation by one person. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. You don't know the whole place by one person. Maybe you're dealing with a spirit of pride. Maybe the garbage man comes to pick up your garbage. Huh? With a bow tie on. He wants you to gift wrap the whole thing. Huh? Wants you to put it in 10-pound containers so you won't have to lift too much. Pride. wants to make maybe $2,500 a week, because, hey, I'm doing a great job, much greater than the other person did here. I'm picking up again as much as the other guy did. I should get double time and a half for what I'm doing. So it isn't the job you have or the position you have. It's how you feel, and you can pick up that spirit of pride wherever you are. Because sometimes the helpers of the proud are meaner than hell itself. The Bible says that men cannot tame such tongues, boastful flatterers, but the Lord's remedy is sharp and clear. Listen to it in verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. God sees the poor, and God sees the needy, even though they don't even cry out. Maybe they don't even have enough energy to cry out, but he sees them. And for exactly what we're seeing right now in the world today, without them lifting one finger to help, and I think now our 1983 build-up on help the poor has slid down to the level of kick everybody out. They haven't got money, kick them out of town. Man's love, man's dedication. Finally now pride stands up and says, that is enough, get out. But now we're dealing in our country and around the world, but I think especially right here, with the spirit of the Antichrist, the proud one. It's no one other than the devil and all of his demons. It says in the end time, God will release seducing spirits that have never been loosed from the pit. What does seducing suggest to you? That they will seduce you into all sorts of things. You're not warring flesh and blood. You're warring against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. And when rebellion comes on and pride comes on, you're being affected by a demon. Now, how many know what I'm talking about? I know from myself. We are dealing with the Antichrist and anything that exalts itself above Christ is the Antichrist. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, any rebellious spirit, is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's showing its ugly head over every TV, over every radio, over the magazines. They're saying our lips are our own, we'll do what we please with them. And the Bible says they will be cut off. The time is here. I think for the most part, all you people listening know you have been affected by the spirit of the Antichrist. Give up. Sit down. Don't do anything. Now, admit it. It's too hard. It's too late. People won't listen. They only go a little ways and they sit down. Well, tell them to get up then. And encourage them to get up and tell them that the spirit of the Antichrist has come upon planet like never before. We battle not against the flesh and blood. Spirits, and number one spirit is pride. Pride in knowledge. Pride in how much we know, and we can exalt ourselves above God. And I don't care how much you've learned, and all the people that are in tremendous Bible studies, when they exalt themselves above God. And oh, I'll tell you, there'll be arguments about what I'm preaching here today. But it is the truth. You can search the scriptures and never find Jesus Christ. And there is a spirit right now that is exalting itself above God. And when the Bible, the Word of God, takes precedent over Jesus, there's something wrong. When doing these things, when a Bible study, let's say, which are beautiful, and we should each individual be into the Word of God. I mean, you've had enough teaching. Get into the Word of God for yourself and see what God is speaking to you. Because the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and it is thick. And there is a deception going around right now. And many are being affected, and praise God, that through prayer and fasting they can be released, and all of us are going to be hit by it. And then spirits, in the Bible it says, will have them get back into themselves, seeking to satisfy self. Hey, you can't do it. Self is never satisfied. Oh God, I'm so hungry, I'm dying, I gotta have something to eat. And you go eat, and you're miserable. Why did I eat so much? Huh? You know what I want right now? I wanted malted milk. And you have the malted milk, you say, why did I do it? I gained 4 pounds right there. Now I have to laugh. People say, all I have to do is look at food. And I get fat. Would you close your eyes when you ate it? You had to eat it. I know about that. But we're going to run into arguers and rebellious spirits causing divisions. Double-hearted, it says. In Psalm 12 and 2 says like this, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. Now, again, I have to say this. We all can be affected by these things. Now, I think the ones that puff up one another and puff up someone else's heart have nothing better than wind in their own heart, full of hot air. Because the flatterer has another side to his heart, a one that has contempt for people. Beware of such. When someone is a continual flatterer, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about someone just lifts up the body or says, great job. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the spirit of a flatterer. Okay? They have a double heart, the Bible says. On one side, they flatter you. On the other side, there's an evil over there. They're waiting for the thing to go down. You guys are doing such a great job. I do not believe it. And this group over here is doing such a wonderful... Oh, we so enjoyed that. And on the other side, when there's a continual flatterer around, look out. Because there's another side to their heart. Another side. And the other side is... It's terrible. It shows up... Sometimes I just shake my head and say, okay. And a long time ago, the Lord told me to say, oh, thank you very much, and walk away. Beware of such, for in the end times, there's going to come lying lips and flatterers. Now, I'm sure we can all see ourselves in what I've ministered here Friday night. And maybe you should get the tape from Friday night. But also here thus far this Sunday, I'm sure we can all see ourselves, can't we? In some degree, we are all affected. Know what these are? These are blocks to the power that we can have. These are blocks. Unsurrendered self blocks the power flow. You jam it up. There are these attitudes we can take towards ourselves, and we'll go through them today. We can deny ourselves, or we can decorate ourselves, or we can deify ourselves. We can deceive ourselves, or we can divide ourselves. We can dedicate ourselves. First, we can deny ourselves and say, I do not exist. Only God exists. Monoism. It won't work. It will begin with some exaltation, for a few minutes or an hour or a day. I don't exist. It's only God. I'm not here. But it'll wear off. You'll get hungry and tired. It's only a verbal release. Someone will come to you and get you angry, and you'll find out you're still here. Oh, I thought you said you didn't exist. Sounds like you came alive. That's how cults get started. That's how these legal ministries always end up. They can't stand it for the wear and the rub. These facts will I tell you, they come up every time. You're living in a sort of a verbal dreamland. I heard it preached over the radio. You are not God. No, you're not. Or part of Him. You are you, created, it says in the Bible, in God's image. And then don't try to suppress yourself. It can't be done. Don't try to put a bit in your mouth, and don't try to hold yourself back. It can't be done. Then secondly, you can decorate yourself. You can make yourself presentable to yourself and to others. And you can put on a happy face, and you can, play the game. But you know what? You'll know the truth. And you'll end up with an inner conflict. Your face will register a halfness. See, because your facial expressions are connected to the subconscious storehouse. And it registers how you really feel down in your subconscious, okay? And then when you recognize that, you try to overcome it, you try to suppress it, and sit on that lid, you end up with a half a smile. And you know it ain't coming off right. How many have done that? You know it's not coming off right. Why? It isn't in you. You're putting it on. It's not coming from the inside. Now, I'm not just talking about some people. I'm talking about all people. All of us. It has to be an inward change, or it doesn't come off right. It's a nervousness that we have. Hi, how's it going? Oh, great. And then we don't know what to say after that. That's all that's in us, those little cliches, nothing. Outside of having Jesus down there and talking about Jesus, there's nothing that's comfortable to talk about because it's all shim-sham. It's all total self, and it ends up miserable and wretched and poor, the Bible says. See, you know the truth. And then thirdly, make a God out of yourself. Deify yourself. Just frankly and without apology, make yourself number uno. Central and absolute. And you know why? Know something? It works. For a while. You can go real far with this uninhibited self. Hey, I'm number one and I'm going to go for it. Don't you ever hear that in the world? Let's go for it. Buckle down, win sake, buckle down attitude. You can win sake if you'll only buckle down attitude. For a while, you'll get away with it. Frank Sinatra used to sing a song like that. I'll have it my way. Well, if God doesn't have it His way, you'll have it your way, and your way will send you straight to hell. That's just the way it is. But anyway, going on with this, yes, it can drive you to success and power of a kind for a while. But only for a while. The payoff always comes. And you wonder why in the world, well, look out there. Looks like they're so successful and everything. And they're not all in all this kind of a mess like I am, being a Christian and everything and not being able to do anything. Look at them out there. They're having fun. For a season. For a season. Until they go home and drop their shoes off and look at the wall. The payoff comes. And you'll find that your success and your power have ended up in Dead Sea fruit. No way to flow out. Boy, that's miserable. And all these people that accumulate a whole lot of things, and it's all built around self, they end up miserable and wretched and poor. And you don't have to accumulate a lot of wealth. I mean, you can accumulate what you think is a lot of wealth. You go for friends, or you go for this, or you go for that, or you go back into worldliness. And you accumulate all that, there's no outflow. It's like it's contaminated and they got a sign around you, don't touch, contaminated. How many hearing this? See, and these are the spirits that are going to hinder Christians in the end. You've got to hear this. You wonder why people are going kind of goofy. What got in the spirit of pride? That's what got into us. It's only for a while. It won't last. Because this proud, assertive man is not punished outwardly. He is punished inwardly. And the payoff is in himself. He has himself, what he's produced. And now he doesn't like himself. But you know what's miserable? He has to live with someone he don't like, himself. Probably doesn't want anybody else in on the great action. See, that's like when you make yourself God, then the devotee strips the God and despises the God that he's set up. And you either carry a heaven and hell in you. By the one that has you, I'm talking about. In Psalm 59 and 12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lip, let them even be taken in their pride. You bring it on all yourself. But the Bible is very clear here. The persecutors do not gain on the righteous people. Yet their pride, yet their brags, yet their slander, yet their curses against the godly ones are on record. No matter what you suffer for the cause of Christ, those that have rebelled against God and against you that are serving God, that's all on record. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But next you can deceive yourself. You can hide yourself in the basement of the subconscious mind and say it doesn't exist. It'll be like Janine was talking about some little rat that was trying to get out of a box. And she was down inside of the clothes room down there, and some little kid had put in a shoebox there with a couple of pieces of tape around it. And this little sort of a rat or something was peeking its nose and biting around all the little hole, this little hole trying to get out. Rat, scratch, 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 scratch. That's how our subconscious will be. We try to act like it isn't so, but it's always there, and it always reminds us, and it's always scratching at the top of the lid trying to get out. Though our conscious motives could be clear and they could be good, but yet the unconscious determines the actions. The Bible calls it the storehouse. Whatever in your storehouse is going to come out. And then you look around, oh, why did I say that? Because it was down in your subconscious. Oh, how did I ever, I can't imagine me saying that. It's down in your subconscious. Now, I'm not talking about speaking the truth to somebody. I'm talking about those things that come out. How many are hearing this? Woo! Well, how can we know this, a person asked me whilst I was counseling him one night. By their fruits ye shall know them. Bitter little crab apples will pop out all of a sudden from out of nowhere. And they'll be sitting there with these little bitter crab apples all over them. By their fruit, you will know them. And then the body will start to act out its part. The face changes. The walk changes. The eyes change. The disposition changes. And for a day or a week or whatever, until these little crab apples rot, then it'll quit for a while. Then the process will start all over again. Whew. I got this message from driving by the cemetery down there, not from the dead either, from the trees that bloom along that cemetery down there on Penn Avenue, you know. I think clearly that many people are honestly deceived. Their Adam is alive and producing a fruit problem. And I think that these people have flesh flashbacks. So you see, if in spite of the apparently clear motives, there is an inward strain and stress, what's it show you? It shows me that chances are that in the subconscious there is a conflict. There's a covering up. There's something down there that has not been dealt with. Self-deception is at work. You cannot suppress the fruit. See, because it will produce what the seed is. If that seed is wrong, it's going to produce a wrong fruit. It's got to happen. The unsurrendered self, the unsurrendered portions of self are seeds, Adam's fruit. And they've got to have a vent and they've got to have an outlet. You can almost hear someone's Adam's fruit popping out on their arms and on the sides of their heads and their kneecaps and off the backs of their legs. And sometimes it comes, most times, after a beautiful blossoming. I went by all these trees down there, and they are so beautiful. And they had these beautiful blossoms on them. Have you ever seen that down there on Penn? In the springtime? How many have seen that down there? And they have all, well, you've seen trees anyway, they bloom. And they were all in bloom. And everybody was going by, ooh, ah, oh, aren't they beautiful? And don't we love that attention when we're in blossom? When we're in bloom? It's a deception. Self loves the attention. And so it blooms. And waves its little blossoms all over. And the wind whistles through their sweet perfuming flowers and sends it off to others, and everyone smiles at them. My, 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 wow, wow, how beautiful. Oh, and don't we love those beautiful, when people say, how beautiful she is. And we become prideful over our blossoms. But they're soon gone, aren't they? And ugly little bitter crab apples come out. And all they do is drain us. Being a Christian's so hard. Ooh, and these little beautiful, ugly, ooh, I'm so ugly, I hate myself. Why can't I blossom like I did before? So much work producing. I'm tired of it. And every worm and bug and fly and creeping, crawling thing invades our branches. Oh, God. Oh, God. Ooh, I was in my glory and I lost my blossoms. Now look at me. No, they drive by. No one even sees me. Be sure your pride will find you out, Crabtrees. I thought to myself while I was getting ready for this, surely eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a very bittersweet experience. But we love this. This little tree of mine, I'm going to let it bloom. No, we're just blooming. This little tree of mine, I'm going to let it bloom, huh? When the rains of afflictions come, and all of a sudden the little flowers turn all brown and wither up and get into themselves and drop off. And all you can produce is this bitter little fruit that doesn't want to do nothing. It's in self. For God. Ooh. Oh, goodness. Psalm 10 and 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance, by the way he looks, will not seek after God. You can tell when a person is not going to seek after God by their countenance, by the way they look. Morning. They aren't going to do it. What's taken over? Pride. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, there we're saying that the proud boastings and the lewd blessings of the wicked have been received and evidenced against him. And now his own face confirms the accusation, and the empty closet, I believe, cries out against him, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. You can open up the closet, and God hasn't been in the closet with him in his prayers. Because these proud hearts, they breed proud looks and stiff knees. Someone that's proud is not loose. They get stiff knees. Pride has a stiff neck and stiff knees and a stiff walk and a haughty look. It's a spirit. Listen to me now. This is the spirit that's going to invade. It's an arthritis of the kneecaps, and it's touching Christians all over. It's a haughty look. It's a not, I'm not going to listen. It's a, hey, I'll have it my way. And for anyone to come against that, and it's happening all over. For anyone to come against that and to even give the slightest suggestion, pride steps in. No. It's just like they're crazy. But you have to recognize that it is a spirit that we're dealing with. Now, for the most part, I don't see a lot of that here in this particular ministry. Because it's a lot of times dealt with, but it's coming on strong. It's going to affect everybody. It says seducing spirits. God is going to loose seducing spirits. All of a sudden, you're going to have it your way. You get stiff as a board. Hey, I am sick of taking orders. I think a woman should be able to go out and have a good time and just do her own thing. And you shut up. Okay? And I think guys should be able to be swingers. Well, then get up in the tree and swing back into Africa. Go back with the monkey. Say amen, somebody. I think we should be able to be swingers. Say amen. How many are hearing this today? And we're turning ourselves into animals. Look what's happening in Ireland right now. pride. The Catholic Church against the Lutheran Church. Bombs. Man has become an animal. And the devil is making a monkey out of them. Why? Because of their pride. And pride has to have an audience, doesn't it? Has to have someone to see him strut, doesn't it? I get that way once in a while. Do you? Someone comes up and gives you a compliment. Gee, you're doing a great job. Well, do everything but pat myself on the back. As long as you didn't do it, I thought I would. Thank you. But it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper. It's a spirit of rebellion when you can't take orders, when the pastor doesn't mean a thing anymore. What he has to say doesn't mean... Now, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about pastors all over the world are going to become against, and there's going to be a spirit of rebellion in churches like you've never seen before, and people are going to look for a vent for pride and for self. Some have come out of it even right now. There are people that are going in. There are people that have been through it, and they've come out, and they understand what I'm talking about. There are people that won't understand what I'm talking about because they're going into it, and pride won't let them understand that. How many hearing this? See, the arrangement is that the heart is often written on our countenance. What's ever in our heart is on our face. It's like it's got a control system in there. And the face shows it. And so it's in our heart. And it gets on our face. Have you ever been looked real dejected and someone comes in and says, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. And you almost hurt your face smiling? Because there's another, there's the real action down in here in the subconscious saying, ooh, ee, ooh, ee, ah. It's the way God makes us. When we're happy, it shows. When we're free, it shows. When we're not free, it shows. We're bound up. When we're mad, it shows. Huh? Well, that's a spirit, my God. But it all stems back to pride. You didn't get your way. So pride stands up. You're not telling me nothing! Get it? Just as the motion of the wheels of the clock find the record on its face. You can tell where the clock is, I'm saying. You can tell where the face is at, too. You can tell what time it is on the face. What a dilemma, you say. God, you're talking about me! I'm talking about people. The Greeks, way back, they used to, when they had a man at trial, they'd put him in the dark because they said, well, if they put him up front, they'll know by his face. They'll call him guilty by the look on his face. Thought that was pretty wise. They knew that the face would give him away. But then they had a different set of morals then, too. The morals were high, and you could tell what was on there. There was no phoniness there. You can learn a lot from the muscles of a person's face, much more than you can their lips. When they're tired, you can tell when they're tired. Their face is all hanging. And they go, whew. Oh, and every bone is just tired. Oh, now I'm not talking about sluggards. Now listen, don't use this for an excuse. No, it's right. You know how tired. This is a disease. You must pray for a release to get up out of that bed. It's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to this program. But you can tell when a person's tired because it registers on their whole body. But you can tell when they're rested also. When they're free, they're on their toes. Aren't they? They're on their toes and they're free. Right? It all registers in our body. That's why the body gets sick a lot of times, because we're registering those things that are inside. Yeah. The pride of the wicked is the principal reason why they will not seek after the knowledge of God. Why? Because they think God is undesirable. Pride has exalted an opinion of itself. And therefore, it's very impatient of any rival. It hates a superior over them. And it can't endure a master. And I believe in the proportion as it prevails in the heart, it makes us wish to see nothing above us. And then pride starts to exalt itself above God. Doesn't want to follow any rule but our own inclinations. To acknowledge no law but our own wills. That's the way Satan was led, wasn't it? That's the way our first parents had. They had a desire to be as gods. But let me close with this. Since such are the effects, pride, it's evident that nothing can be more painful to the proud heart than the thoughts of a being such as God. The proud heart does not want to believe there is a God, one who is infinitely powerful, one who is just and holy, one who can neither be resisted or deceived or deluded, who disposes according to his own sovereign pleasure of all the creatures and all of the events, a God who hates pride, a God who will punish it. So pride must look upon God as a natural enemy. And Psalm 10 and 5 says, His ways are grievous, thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Grievous or troublesome. That means all of his endeavors and all of his actions aim at nothing but hurting others. There are people like that, you know. There are people like that that sit in churches all over the world. Grievous or troublesome. And everything they do is aimed at hurting someone else. And it says, thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. Because that God doesn't give immediate judgment on everything he does, he doesn't think God even hears or even sees what he's doing. Then I must say something here. When we're too elevated, and when God's thoughts are too elevated for human wisdom or for human reason, we start to lean on our own understanding. When I talked about seducing spirits, loosed, people don't want to hear that. But it's Bible. They got in the back or somewhere in their subconscious that we just won't claim that, we won't say it because we'll cause it to happen. No, the Bible says it is happening. The Bible gives a warning that it has already come upon us. All the signs are here. There's no more claiming it away what God has prophesied. When the separation comes, and there's a separation coming, it's coming right down the line right now, when the sheep and the goats go their own side, there'll be a line drawn as surely as if I take a piece of chalk and go right up this aisle. There'll be the sheep on one side and there'll be the goats on the other. It's here. It's here right now. And you'll know the person by their fruits, the Bible says. Well, what can we do? Trust in God and see Jesus only during this terrible time. Because the Bible said God will send a strong delusion. God will send it. And even almost the elect will be fooled. And so at this time, let's look at number 5. You can divide yourself. You can be a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. You can serve two masters and get the most out of both of them. You can go to church on a Sunday morning and you can howl on a Sunday night. You remember that werewolf shows they used to have years ago where the man's changed, his face changed when the full moon came up? And they had this little woman said, "This is my son. When the moon is full, the werewolves come out at night." And he was such a nice person. And he tried to be such a good person. He was such a great guy, Lon Chaney. Oh, you felt so sorry for him, you know what I mean? But that old werewolf was inside, wasn't it? Then they had this music, da-da, 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 and the fangs and the hair and everything like that. And that's kind of like we can get when we get full of that pride. We turn into a monster. And we only go so long. But when the moon is full, see, we go for like, 28 or whatever the cycle of a full moon is. 28 days or something like, I don't know. I'm not into that. But whenever the moon is full, then the moon is full, you see, and the mother made excuses for the werewolf son. It turns into the werewolf. Huh? And how many times I have seen Christians turn into wolves. Then the moon is full. It's the truth, isn't it? Have you ever become a werewolf? I have. I can feel it coming on. About the middle of the month, you'd see this guy in these shows, he would start to get real nervous, you know. And he'd be tossed in his bed, but nothing would happen. No real manifestation, but as he got closer and closer and closer, you see it started to wear off and the Adam started to show. The tolerance. Maybe they could give him a shot and make him go for an extra month, you know, be human for a month more. But it always came out. And there we are with the great big teeth and the great big hair all over and the little beady eyes looking out. You ever seen a Christian turn into a werewolf? No, that's kind of funny, but it's really the truth. But it can happen to anybody. Don't think you're all by yourself. It can happen to, it comes from a spirit of pride. You can turn into a monster. Well, I don't think I'm going to have no more messages on this pride thing. It just slays people too much. You might even have a nightmare. But lastly, glory to God, you can dedicate yourself. Oh, hallelujah! That's the answer, for it fulfills, oh, hallelujah, the first law of our being: lose your life to gain it. Right now, today, you're listening on the radio to this tape. You out there, dedicate yourself to the cause of Christ and stop being miserable by trying to satisfy your werewolf self. It can be done. And remember this, we must understand. I say it again, we must understand. A dedicated person to the Lord must not run at every trial. when God's children prosper one way, they are generally tried another, for few of us, I believe, can bear unmingled prosperity. There's got to be a balance. You give a kid too much candy, he's going to get sick. But even the joys of hope, need to be mixed with the pains of experience. Experiences are painful. But it gives you hope when you have the experience to go through a thing. A little kid learning how to go down the stairs. He looks at the stairs. And he's seen his mom and dad go down. And he sees them. He looks at them, you know, and they're going down the stairs and whistling. And they're thinking nothing of it. See? And the little kid looks at them. See? And so he goes all the way down the stairs. It was painful. But he had the experience and the pain of the experience. And then he learned and he started, oh no you don't, I'll conquer you. And he crawls down backwards. And he gets down there and then he looks up at you when you're at the top of the stairs and goes, huh? But he's not content with that. It gives him hope that he made it to the bottom. And so he tries it again. He makes it down one stair and goes all the way down them again. Now he does it a little different. You watch these kids. He'll scoot down like this because he sees his mom and dad go down forward. So he'll go on his rump. Boom, 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 boom. But it gives him hope. He made it to the bottom. Now he starts going up the stairs. Well, now that's a little easier for him. Are you hearing this today? And so up the stairs he goes. But it gives him hope. And if we don't have those painful experiences, we never have any hope because we never learn how to overcome. So don't freak out at every little trial. Every little thing that comes on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. Because, yes, our dedication in the end will have to be without, why, God, why? When you're in a war, and the enemy is there, and says, all right, set your watches. At 0-1200, we're going to advance. And way down at the end, and you're supposed to, everybody's quiet. They're on operation, shh. And some dummy down at the end says, Sarge, 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 Sarge. Huh? And the guy next to him says, shut up. Do you realize we're in enemy territory? And then the guy starts arguing back and forth. This guy is not ready for battle. He's not ready to obey. He thinks he's got a better idea. You understand? He thinks that Private Knucklehead has a better idea. And what they have to do to Private Knucklehead is knock him out. I'm not kidding you. They'll go up, down the trench, or wherever they're at, and they'll knock that guy out. Go knock him in the head. I think sometimes we need to be knocked in the head. Every little trial, every little warfare we go through, we have to question it. Why, Sarge? Why, God? Just obey the Word of God. Don't ask why, ask how. Lord, how do you want me to do this thing? How do you want me to do it? Not why. So many people are asking, but why? Here it is. Think of this today. What of myself have I kept for myself? My time, my energy, my devotion, my love, my troubles. And then I'm thinking this, why take an inventory of yourself? Don't just give your problems to God, give yourself to God, and that'll solve the problem. You want to give yourself to God? All of you? Every little smidge? That'll take care of all your... Oh, I think I'm going to give more time to God. Okay, now, has anyone got a testimony?
I think I'm going to give more... After today's message, I'm going to give more time to God.
The next one.
I think that I could take my energy and put it into better uses and, you know, playing ping pong and stuff. And, you know,
I'm going to be more devoted to God.
I'm giving so much time to my wife and so on like that, and I think I should divide a little bit more up onto God's side.
Why not give yourself to God with all of the problems that are in you? No one else wants you, really. God will accept you. Really, they don't want you. A lot of times people are so anxious to get married, you know what I mean? And I say, do you realize that you're gonna marry all these problems? Oh, but I gotta have her. I know it was love at first sight. And all these songs they have across a crowded room? Baloney. Baloney. Well, I gotta have him. You're marrying a lot of problems. First of all, I think people should give themselves to God wholly and entirely, and then they are safe to marry. If they haven't given themselves over totally and entirely to God, they are dangerous and don't do it. And the guy says, well, I'm going to marry this girl, but we don't... she's just so great. She's a Christian, and she loves the Lord. But we disagree on doctrinal... We have doctrinal hang-ups. I says, don't get married. Well, they're very, very slight. And I says, if she can't give up a very, very slight doctrine, it shows me she has a lot of pride. Don't do it. Please, will you counsel about us for a while? I said, no. Will you talk to us? I said, no. There's nothing to talk about. And you tell this girl, and you tell yourself, when you totally both give yourselves to God, then come on in, because I don't want to monkey with you. You have to give yourself over to the Lord. That's what I'll tell you when you come in. That's lesson number one. Counseling session number one. Give yourself to God. Because, see, you belong to God. You don't belong to what I say. You know, they'll go ahead and get married anyway. Yeah. Oh, they will. And you'll see them going down this street. Sprinkle, submersion. Sprinkle, submersion. Sprinkle, submersion. You don't believe that? And they'll go on the rest of their spiritual walk arguing over doctrines on how to preach and how to teach and, my God, on and on and on. Is it the truth? It is the truth. All they do is dedicate their problems to one another. Why don't we today, you listening on the radio tape, you people sitting here, dedicate your temple daily and let it be filled with the presence of the Lord, and His glory filled the temple. Get self out of there so God's glory can move in.
okay, I'm going to do it. Do it daily. Every day you have to do it. Every day. It'll cut out all the arguing and all the bitterness and all the rivalry and all. Because you're not there. You've given yourself to God. Huh? Why don't we just give ourselves to God? Just turn ourselves around. Huh? You got to have a little bit of humor in these messages because it just actually kills people. Is there anyone in here today that hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ? Anybody? Do it today. The return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner. New York Times has bold print right now. There's 3-inch print. And it says on the print, Jesus Christ returns.